When I first met met Rudy about 42 years ago, one of the things he said to me very early on was that your spiritual life is your whole life, and that it takes an entire life, that it's a life's work. And that's a lot to tell somebody at the beginning of a practice, especially if you really want to believe that you can be done with it in a few years. You know, I think it's very American to think, excuse me, that you get a diploma and you get some rite of passage and someone tells you, well, now you're enlightened, you did it. And I honestly believe that somehow by the age of 30-something, I would be walking around done, finished, whatever that meant, certified. And I didn't totally believe the idea that this took a lifetime. Last weekend, Blanche and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. We had met 42 years ago, possibly on the same day that I met Rudy, but that's a bone of contention. We're not sure. But it was within a few day period of that. And if it was the same day, it just sounds a little too mythological. But it really had some very strong connection that I met Blanche and my spiritual teacher, and in a sense found a spiritual teacher in Blanche at the same time that I found a partner in Rudy. There was something remarkable about that exchange, and both still are huge parts of my life, even though Rudy left here in the mid-70s. But Blanche and I have been together 40 years, 42, but married 40. And we made a very strong commitment to each other in our wedding vows that our marriage was about growing. It was about growth. And as long as we were growing, we would be a couple. If one of us or either or both of us stopped growing, that would be the only grounds for not being together. And we both have maintained and sustained our spiritual practice during the entire course of our marriage. And I've come to really understand how essential that has been to the glue that has held a relationship together. Because 40 years with anybody is a challenge. I don't care who it is. I don't believe on some level two people were meant to be together for very long at all. It takes unbelievable skills of negotiation. It takes an incredible amount of love. It takes a willingness to go through all of the upheavals of life with somebody else. And it's demanding work. And spiritual practice prepares you for and engages you in the value of that work, so that you really do understand that with all of the challenges that occur, you have a mechanism in place to transform it or transmute it into growth, and into spiritual growth, into a kind of internal awakening. And that it's not a singular event. You don't just suddenly go, oh, I get it. It's a true process. And the value of a long-term relationship is really extraordinary, because you really begin to understand how much has to be stripped away in a lifetime to get to truth, to get to essence, to get to core of who you are, individually and as a couple. It's a really powerful and demanding journey, because it's possible to go through it without any kind of spiritual approach, without any kind of examination, without any kind of practice, if you will. It's possible to go through it blind. I mean, I really do believe there are people who know each other no better at the end of 40 years than they did at the beginning of 40 years. They know certain patterns, perhaps, of behaviors, but they don't really know each other in many ways because many people don't know themselves better after 40 years of life or of living. And learning about yourself is a confrontation with all of the blind spots, if you will, of existence. Life has an extraordinary way of showing us the stuff we don't want to see, of bringing us into confrontation with the stuff that has to be changed. Growth occurs because of change. And life will bring it to you in many forms, but nothing brings it to you in a more concentrated way than living with a partner. They bring you face to face with you and the very elements in you that need to grow. And as long as you can make those changes in yourself, as long as you can begin the process or sustain a process of growing, marriage evolves, couples evolve, change occurs, growth occurs. We had a really wonderful anniversary weekend. And we did very special things for each other, and it was really, really beautiful. Among them, we, in our very first date, or one of our first dates, went to the Cloisters, upper part of Manhattan. And we got there, and it was closed. And in all the 42 years that have passed, we never got back to the Cloisters. So Blanche arranged for us, without my knowing it, although I figured it out because we've been married for 40 years, to go back to the Cloisters and have the rest of our date. And it was an absolutely perfect, perfect day. It was perfect because it brought such an exquisite sense of completion to something that could only have been completed after that length of time. It was though the two of us who had met each other all those years ago were standing there in that space with all of the years that had gone by, all of the transformation, and yet we were the same people. And on some level, being back there brought us back to that fact, that we were the same essential people. And all of the growth that had occurred had moved us in a million miles away from who we were, and also not an inch away. That we were the same people and we were completely different. It was an exquisite experience of what being means, because true being is timeless. True being has no transforming element at all. It is infinite and endless. And as we stood there together on these grounds we had not entered before, we were within each other's space of being in a way that we had been the first time we met. And one of the things that we both came away from this with, and Blanche in a very particular way, was what an extraordinary thing it is to be back at the place of possibility, where everything is open to you, where everything is fresh, everything is awaiting you. And that is something that most marriages lose. And I think in some ways we had lost as a couple, because one gets blinded by the day-to-day. But standing in that space and reawakening to that realm of newness, of endless possibility, that nothing that is permanent or essential. Everything falls away and everything remains. And because of that extraordinary truth, you can always grow. You can always change. You're always on the journey. You're always on the adventure. And the trouble with most long-term relationships is how one forgets that. You spend a whole lifetime trying to build into the thing that you can have forever, the thing that will lock you into comfort, retirement, security, the very thing of Western civilization, really. What it pushes all of us to get to that place of absolute permanence and safety. And I think what Blanche realized really clearly, and I learned from her really, as we stood there, was, it's not about security. It's not about retirement. It's not about safety. It's about the endless opportunity that comes with being alive. And that as much as we lose that, there is something that can recover that. And that the choice of going back in time and finishing the unfinished allowed us to begin yet again on the journey that we are on in our lives as a couple. And it is an exquisite thing spiritually to be able to break all the patterning and all of the density and all of the stuff that can accrue simply by being conscious and creating a conscious moment like that. And what we did, in fact, was create an entire weekend of conscious moments. So that we went to a lot of theater, but theater that we had seen when we were young. West Side Story, Hair. And we got really great seats for Hair because my agency got them. So we were right on the aisle, and all the actors came over and hugged me and Blanche and gave us flowers and danced on our seats and invited us up onto the stage to dance to let the sun shine in. And we went up on the stage and danced like we were 26 years old or 25 years old. And it was completely beautiful, absolutely exquisitely joyful. And we were recapturing something that really was always there. It was always there. But the layering of life covers up so much of that. And what happens in that layering is that if you don't keep working on some level consciously, it can bury you. And so many people live buried lives. And those lives get buried because I can see how it occurs. It occurs through patterns that get rigid, that are not about growing, that are not about living. They're really about protecting and feeling secure. Feeling secure, I get it. It's an essential part of my sort of my being. But the lesson that comes through to me over and over and over is let go of anything that causes or talks about security. Let go of everything that holds on to what is comfortable. And it's the hardest thing for me in life to keep letting go of the stuff that makes me feel at home. Because the real home, and we all know this, but one always forgets it, is not where you live. It's really where you are. And this is a lesson that is perhaps at the core of my growth. It's the hardest lesson for me because I have built a life that I really tried to create as a, you know, secure and warm and loving space. And in the end, I created two homes and an apartment. And if you want to create insanity in yourself, try to live in two homes and an apartment. There is no center. It's all over the place. And it helps you on one level to understand that there is a kind of need to be deep in yourself, but somebody still has to watch over and protect and deal with all of those spaces. So what's occurring for Blanche and I at this moment in life is the emergence of a willingness to let go of all of the structure. And that's a very powerful, powerful moment. So we are at the 40th year of our marriage into a period of what may be bigger change than any change we've been gone through in the 40 years up to now. And I think it's a sign of a very healthy relationship and a sign of an enormous amount of growth. And if it isn't growth now, it will be growth as change occurs. But we are really staring at transforming our lives on some very fundamental level. And, of course, I'll be reporting on that as time goes on here. But change is afoot. And I have to say, there's something really beautiful about rededicating yourself to growing. It was the essential vow of our marriage, growth. And it remains the essential element of our marriage 40 years later. And it is amazing to see it in practice and to see it working. Spiritual life is a very interesting phenomenon. It is not certifiable in that anybody's going to give you a document that's going to say you have arrived anywhere, because ultimately there's nowhere to arrive except where you already are. And we all know that in some way. We talk about it a lot in this class. This is the very space of your awakening. This is the very space of your enlightenment. It is no place else. It will never be anywhere else. You are always the bearer of the fruit that you're looking for. And your life at this very moment is the life that you created. It is the life that you brought into being. There is no way around that. And if you can deeply accept that, allow it to be, forgive all the stuff in it that you don't like or you don't think worked, just recognize that there is something absolutely essential and remarkable about this second of your life. You will begin to see the doorway to enlightenment. Because the doorway is not passing into something else, it's stepping into what is here now. And that's what we're all reaching for over and over and over, and yet there's almost nothing to do. It's like coming into the place where you're already sitting. You're there. And you spend a lifetime to learn that. You spend a lifetime to know, because you can't figure it out when you're 25 years old. There's no way. Future is too big. Possibilities are too big. And you really are invested in all of that possibility. And then you live a life and you have your middle of life, whatever that may be, and some of us have children, and some of us have big jobs, and some of us have little jobs, and some of us have demands, and some of us don't, but we go through a very powerful period in the middle, and then as you start to move toward the end, which is one of the gifts of a long life, you start to look at it in perspective. And as you free yourself from the demands of the middle of your life, you really arrive at the time where awakening is much more possible, because future is smaller, it's diminished. You don't have as many plans for the future. You don't have as much to talk about in terms of what we're going to do or not do. The revival of possibility, which has occurred in our life, is not about planning anymore. It's not about building, it's about being. It's just about being. We can be alive. We can be 25 years old. We can be 4 years old. We can be what we want to be, if you will, and in a deeper sense, we can be what we are, which is eternal, infinite, endless being. We are that. And we can exult in that. We can exult in being alive. That is the great value of a long life. You no longer have to pursue and get anything, because you've already pursued and gotten what you're going to get. For better, for worse, somewhere along the line, you got to make peace with that. What you got is what you got. Where you are is where you are. And the extraordinary thing is that where you are is exactly where you were meant to be. And the moment you get that in some really deep and powerful way, you arrive at this moment. It's the fighting it. It's the sense that I should have done more, I should have been better, I should have had this, I should have had that. Forget that. Forget that. Because it's nothing about should have, would have, could have. It's this is what it is. This is what it is. And if you look at it in a really, really quiet and deep way, it's exactly right. It's exactly what it should be. And that is the hardest thing for people, because the mind never settles into that. The mind is always looking for more, or judging or comparing, and the mind will keep doing that. So how do you get into this moment when the mind is telling you it's not right, it's not enough, it should be different? I'll tell you how. You just look at the mind and go, I know what you're doing. And you're going to keep doing it. You're going to tell me over and over and over, more, you know, different, other, change. You're going to keep going, and you just say, I get it. I get you. And I don't expect you to stop, because that's what you do. You're going to make this noise forever. So you just watch it doing what it does. It will keep doing it, and it doesn't matter. Because you get it. And so you look at your own mind making its noise and making its plea, and you just stare it down, or you just watch it and go, you know, that's a good one. You know, that, wow, I hadn't thought of that one. And you just let it play itself out, and it will play, and it doesn't matter. You're no longer the victim of those kinds of thoughts and ideas. And what happens is the truth of this moment shines through. Where you are is where you are. And it's right. It's exactly right. It may hurt. As you get really older, it's going to hurt a lot. Because part of being old is that it hurts. And it may cause you discomforts and some kind of suffering. But suffering really is... suffering is an engagement of pain, and you don't have to engage it. So you'll just look at it and go, at this moment, this difficult pain is here, and you go, okay, and it's gone, and this old thought comes up and it goes away, and you watch all of these things happening, and you realize this is how it works. This is life. And then you might even begin to love all of it. You might love the pain because you're alive. You might love the weird thought that suddenly shoots through your head that comes out of nowhere, and you go, what's that about? You go, wow, what a weird thought to go through my head to shoot into the universe. How does that pass through me? It becomes wonder. It becomes amazement. It becomes astonishment. And it becomes joyful. It becomes something that you sit back and you go yes to. This big yes to all of this is really enlightenment. It's the no, it's the resistance, it's the fear, it's the security, it's the safety, it's all of that stuff that wants to separate you from the yes that gets you in trouble. So once you finally understand that and allow it, because you can't stop all that stuff, you just let it do its dance and see it for what it is. It's the dance of life, the dance between freedom and security. Heaven and hell, good and bad, love and hate. You are in the world of manifestation. The world of manifestation is built of opposites. Those opposites are going to play until you drop dead. You might as well get that. This is what they are. This is how it works. That's how we build the world. And we love the world. We love the dark as much as the light. We love the pain as much as the pleasure. We don't know that we do that. We don't know it, but we do. Because you don't know pleasure, obviously, without the pain. And you don't know light without the dark. And so we honor both of them in our lives. And if you live long enough, this is what's called wisdom. And I have a lot of friends who have never meditated a day in their life who are learning the same thing I'm talking about now. So meditation is not the key. It's not the key. But it is a deep help. A deep help in the process. Because if you're not paying attention to life, if you're not wise or intelligent in your life, you may miss this teaching. And it's the teaching that is available to every human being. It's what we're here to learn. And if you're sitting in this room, you're already learning. You're already learning this lesson. And if you live long enough, the fruit of that lesson will blossom and you will taste it. So, thank you guys for coming today. There will be no class next week. I have to go to L.A. unexpectedly, a little early. And I have to be in L.A. the following weekend, so there's no New York class for the next 2 weeks. 3 weeks from now, the 28th? Or 26th. Right? We all have a different date. Well, the 3 weeks from now, there will be a class. So I'll see you, those of you who are around. Here, as far as I know. Pardon? Thank you. The 19th will be a class here. And if anybody is listening in L.A., the class will be not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. Okay. Thank you guys very much.